Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right. I hope everybody's planning on Serve Day and on July 13th. Remember, first Saturday of every month, we have Saturday Serve, and there's projects available on the website right now. You can be involved every month, the first Saturday of every month. I know last October when we did our first Serve Day, I was able to go into the city with a bunch of other people, and we went to the areas where the homeless sleep and went into those areas to bring dignity to those people and clean those areas up, and we'd fill dumpster after dumpster. And so many of those in that condition and the homeless actually won't come out and even go into shelters. And so we brought dignity to those people and served them. And I tell you, it was an incredible morning. And I just want to encourage everybody, find a project, build a team around it, or certainly serve in one. And all that's coming up. Really want to encourage you to do that. So, hey, Mother's Day's coming up. How many of you remember last year we had Jill Windham here to speak at Mother's Day? Didn't she do a great job? Jill was a blessing, and I know you enjoyed her. This year I'm bringing Angela Madden in. Angie is a phenomenal speaker, and she's going to come. And so, moms, I want to let you know we have a treat for you with Angela coming in. You're going to have a great day with her sharing. Couple other things just want to make you aware of, because these are great things up and coming. Man Up's coming in June. Mike Tomlin will be here, the coach of the Steelers. Tunch Ilkin will be here, along with some nationally known speakers, as well as all new breakouts. Many, many of them will be new. Dads, it's a great time for you to come. Bring your sons. And it's a tremendous one-day event. So make sure you avail yourself to that opportunity. You might be a lady here and say, when's the Woman Up thing going to happen? Just so you know, August 25th, Sunday night, just start it up, get it on your calendar. Here at the church, we'll be coming here. We'll be Natalie Grant and Charlotte Gamble. We'll be here together. So if you know those two, they're incredible. They speak across the world. And Natalie sings across the world. I just want to let you know that's up and coming. Then I have a great Kingdom Builders announcement. How many of you are Kingdom Builders? Come on, man. We are Kingdom Builders. We live outside the walls of this church. And coming, we have a meeting to just talk about the Newcastle meeting, a meeting where you can come and just learn about it. And all the details are there behind me. It's going to be on the weekend of May 18th and 19th, Saturday and Sunday opportunities. And we're going to come. It'll be an interest meeting where I'll be there. Pastor John Owens will be there. And we're going to lay out for you what it looks like when we launch the campus next February up in Newcastle. So if you have any interest in that at all, it's not a commitment meeting, it's an interest meeting. So please look at your calendar and get that in there. This weekend, I want to begin something that actually is about a six-month process for me in prayer and just waiting on God and getting clarity in my heart. You know, if you come to Victory for any length of time, you know that we typically would announce that we're doing a series and then another series, and it would be on a topic. And there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people actually are able to do that very well in the way they flow in their heart in the call of God upon their life. But as I began to pray and really begin to focus on some of these things, I met with our team, and they certainly didn't impose this on me. But what I said to them, I said, you know, I don't work well that way. The way God has always used me in my heart was I had to have something in my heart that I knew was for the moment for people. And so what happens is when you plan out a series throughout the end of the year, when I would get to that series, I'd do my best. I'd study God's word, but it really, I wouldn't feel like, man, that just doesn't seem, it's almost like wearing someone else's shoes. So just so you know, from now on, we will still do a series here and there, but it'll be something that I really feel impressed in my heart to do, and we'll plan things. We'll still do at the movies. We're still going to do the Christmas show. Doesn't mean we won't do those type of things, but it's going to flip. Meaning this, for the most part, when you come here every weekend, here's what I want you to know. I have no idea what you're going to hear next weekend. Okay? That's all I can tell you. You have no idea. I have no idea. Although I do have something in my heart that God's really been dealing with me about, and it's this. The things that he led Michelle and I through in our own Christian walk that brought us to just the place of growing in Christ in our own lives, I want to provide you with that simple knowledge. And it's something that came up in my heart, and I call it the impossibility triangle. And it's three values or scriptural issues that if they come together in your life, impossibility disappears within them. Impossibility becomes practical. And those three things are very simple. And by that simple, I mean they're simplistic. And I want to talk to you about how to live in these together. And over the next at least couple months, I know I'll be in that triangle. I don't know where, and I can't give you any specifics, but I know this. Every week I will be praying, and Saturday night might be different than Sunday, but that's okay. Because I'm going to start all I want to do is say, Lord, I want to help people when they're here. I want your spirit to flow in a way that is for the moment for people. And so those three things simply are this: grace, faith, and humility. How those three things intersect will revolutionize every aspect of your life if they intersect well. I wish I could tell you they've always intersected well in my life. They haven't. But, I was driving here this morning praying with Michelle, and I really, I didn't think of this, but in just driving here in my heart, it just kind of came up. It's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. If you think about it, I know there's a lot of, stories about it that aren't real, but the theory and the stories that they go into the Bermuda Triangle and they disappear and they can't find them anywhere. And they look in the bottom of the ocean and they're gone. Like the Bermuda Triangle, ships disappear. In this triangle, impossibility can disappear. And when I was just praying back there, I had what the Bible would call a word of knowledge. Now, let me explain what a word of knowledge is in Scripture, because I want you to get more and more comfortable with the gifts, the operations, and manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And a word of knowledge, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's simply this. It's a word or a fragment of the knowledge of God about an individual or a group or a place pertaining to the present or the past that the individual would have no way of knowing except God reveal a fragment or a word of his knowledge. So I was praying back there, and we're just during worship. I'm just behind there because I just like to just pray in the spirit and pray before God is before I come and talk to you. So we're all worshiping here. I'm just right on back there, just praying and walking back and forth and worshiping God with you. But as I was doing that, the Holy Spirit showed me something. I saw this clear picture, and you see, impossibility comes to us in a variety of different ways. It could be your health. It could be your mental health. It could be your finances. It could be your relationship with God. It could be the fact that maybe you were abused in life, physically, sexually, otherwise, abandoned. And it feels like you're in a place that there's no way out. But I was praying, my hope today is all of us will understand to apply this where we're in our own lives, but specifically, that the Holy Spirit showed me that you're here today, and I believe husband and wife are here. You may not be here together, but what I saw was this, that you're to the edge of a divorce. It's not like an abusive situation where somebody is, either beaten someone or had just unfettered affairs. I don't mean that. It's like you kind of come to the end of the road of like, we just don't get along. It's just never going to work. And here's what I saw you do. I don't know if you did it individually, together, but I saw you walk up by your kids' rooms. And I just saw two rooms. I don't know if that's more than two children. And you stood by each one of those rooms, and this is what you thought. This is going to change forever for them. And you stood by that room, and that's what went through your heart. Here's what I want you to know, how much God loves you. Is in the middle of what you may feel is the most unspiritual part of your life, when you feel like, man, the thing that I thought would never die is dying. I want you to know that it doesn't have to die. Not everything is salvageable because people have wills involved. People can choose. God won't force anyone to make a decision. And you'll see that as we get into this triangle. But if that's you today, I want you right now in your heart to say, and you may be here the first time and think, did somebody call that guy and tell them? Did you tell him? No one told me anything. This isn't a game. This is God who is alive, Jesus who's risen from the dead, the power of the Holy Spirit present in the earth right now, to make people free, not to play church and not to have religion. And this doesn't just happen in church. The gifts and operations of the Holy Spirit are going to happen in your everyday life. And that's what that's what I want you to learn, how to understand, how to flow in, how to receive. It isn't silly, it isn't weird, and it isn't spooky. There's nothing spooky about God. He's real, and he cares about people. And so if that's you in your heart right now, you just consecrate before God. Lord, I'll do what you lead me to do. I want to take you into that triangle somewhat this morning. And that triangle is grace, faith, and humility. And the first one is, let me talk to you about grace. Grace, by definition, is simply this. It is divine strength, divine power, divine ability, and divine capacity. Everybody say divine. This is a power, strength, and ability, and a capacity that is not human. This isn't for those of you that are, well, you know what, I don't need that because I'm a really talented person. There is no such thing as human talent or capacity or strength that's anything comparable to God's. And what you have to understand is that the scripture said that for every Christian, every child of God, that a measure of the grace that was upon Jesus, a measure of it has been deposited in your life. There is a measure of the divine power of God upon you to do something with your life that is impossible. Every area of your life that God wants to show up in, he wants to blow out and blow away everything to the contrary. God doesn't show up anywhere and compete. There is no competition with God's power and grace. When light shows up, darkness doesn't compete, it leaves. And I want to talk to you how to live in that power, how that comes together in the intersection of grace, faith, and humility. The Apostle Paul, who was, had, God called him, and he had this great call upon his life, and he had seen these, had a visitation of Jesus in heaven. It was an amazing life that he lived. Paul was one of those people who was, though, very accomplished, very well educated. He was a Roman citizen. For most of us, we're going to be on the opposite side of that equation. We're going to disqualify ourselves and say, well, you know, God couldn't use me. No, we're not. No, I mean, I need at least 10, 12 decades before he could ever do something through my life. And we say that his grace is not sufficient. Paul took all of his accomplishments in Philippians. He called them human excrement. That's a word for poo-poo. He said, I consider it poop. Now, how many of you know what you do with poop? You get it far away from you. If you don't come around me. Paul said, everything I've accomplished in my life compared to God's grace, that's what it is to me. Listen to what Paul said when the enemy was attacking him through persecution, trying to stop the call of God on his life. I want you to see the power of the grace of God. And by the way, this isn't unique to Paul. You have a grace on your life right now. If you're a Christian, raise your hand if you've given your life to Jesus. Then right now, listen to me. According to Ephesians 4, 7, there has been a deposit from the head of the church upon you of his grace, not some left-handed or unknown grace. The very grace the Son of God walked on in the earth when he walked within, the full capacity of the power of God. And without measure upon one person, a measure of it he distributed to you. Please don't live and die and let it lie dormant in your life. Please don't live that way. Please don't live that way. Listen to what he said. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:8, he said, concerning this thing, persecution, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And here's what he said to me. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, so notice now he calls his grace his strength. My strength is made perfect in what realm? In human weakness. So therefore, I most gladly will boast in my weakness that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Now he calls the grace of God not just the strength of God, but the power of God. Therefore, I will take pleasure in my infirmity or weakness, in reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Sounds like this kind of weird dichotomy. No. He's saying, I accept the fact that as a human being, when it comes to doing the work of God, to doing what God, not only, you say, we just mean ministry. No. Every area of your life, God wants to have his hand in every area of my life and your life from horizon to horizon. And he wants his grace to supply you supernatural capacity and ability. If you're married today, do you know there's grace to be married? Do you know there's supernatural ability to be married? So, better be who I married. Well, don't do that. Keep your elbow to yourself right now. But do you know there's a way that you don't have to follow the patterns of your family? Do you know that if you're that couple here today or that individual that I spoke to by the Spirit of God a little while ago, do you know there's a power greater than how you feel right now? And if you don't know what to do with that power in the midst of your feelings, you live outside of the impossibility triangle and you are powerless. Paul said it's okay to be weak, just so you understand. That's the qualification for you to understand that there is a supernatural grace. Paul basically was saying this, Lord, if you can make all this stuff stop, you know how much I could do for you? And Jesus didn't say the stuff was good. He just said, Paul, you're wrong. My grace is sufficient. See, Paul thought everything in his life had to line up for him to do God's plan for his life. And Jesus said, none of that stuff's going to stop you. You don't need the absence of trouble. You don't need the absence of an enemy. You need the presence of my divine power. And my power is sufficient for anything you face, Paul. Any trouble you face, none of it will surprise me, and none of it is a match for my power. And then Paul said, you know what? Then I will glory in my messed up. I'll glory in my weakness. Because now I know that when I know I'm weak and I'm willing to yield to his strength, then I'll walk in the strength of God. So the grace of God is divine strength. Then something has to be mixed with it. It's called faith. And I'm going to take time over these, probably the rest of my life, but specifically at least the next couple, 3 months, I want you to know how to live by faith, walk by faith, receive by faith, be governed by faith. It is the only thing the Bible said. Without it, you can't even please God. Here's the definition, the simple definition of faith is this. It's governing beliefs that are formed by the word of God that result in action steps in your life. Faith is simply what you believe that governs your life. So I don't know if I have faith. Well, let me explain to you. You have beliefs right now, as do I, that may be contrary to God's word that are governing your life. See, faith isn't just faith in God. Governing beliefs are what govern your life in every area, in every area of my life. And what Jesus in God's word is trying to get over to us is that I want what you believe to be formed by my word. Well, I'm praying God will give me faith. It is unscriptural and unbiblical to pray for God to give you faith. There's nowhere in the Bible that says God gives faith to those who ask him. Romans 10:17 tells us where it comes from. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God's word brings with it capacity to actually govern how you live. And that's why Jesus said, out of the abundance of the deposits you put into your heart, your mouth will speak, your life will live. That's why it is so critical to be in a small group, to put God's word in your life. That's why it's so critical every day of the world to put the word of God in your life. That's why it's so critical to be listening to the word of God. That's why it's so critical to be in church, not optionally. I'm telling you, people even coming together as the people of God. Listen, it's great to watch online. Those of you who are watching, we welcome you. We're so glad. But can I tell you something? There is something about the body of Christ that you are not going to get on a computer screen or a phone. Yeah, but I'm kind of busy. Then you are way too busy. When you are too busy to walk in the fullness of the grace of God, you're too busy. Yeah, but I've got to get it done. Can I tell you, getting it done on your own ain't going to cut it. Yeah, but I'm a smart guy. I'm a smart lady. Ain't that smart? There's nothing to compare. Here's what I want you to do with your smart. Count it as poo-poo. Because that's what it is. Before God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 said, we walk by faith, not by sight. Galatians 3:11, the righteous will live by faith. So it's not something you do on a weekend or when you have a problem or at some spiritual event. This is a lifestyle. It's how you live. It's how you walk. It's governing by being governed by what you believe. The life of faith is built upon being governed by the beliefs formed in your heart by the word of God. Now, please listen to this statement. If your life isn't governed by your beliefs formed by the word of God in your daily life, it will be very difficult for you to be governed by your beliefs in times of trial and testing and obedience. See, you live by faith. That means I'm going to be governed by what I believe God says about me. Can I tell you, you're going to have marvelous opportunities in life to walk by sight instead of walk by faith. And this is where the third one comes in, and I'm going to blend these three together and talk to you just a little bit about how this works in a real life situation. The third one is humility. Humility is simply this, the choice to intentionally submit every part of my life to God. Humility is what I bring low. Pride is what I lift high. Let me read a scripture to you about humility. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says this, young men in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Now listen, all of you clothe yourselves with humility. Say out loud, clothe myself. Let me just take a second here. It is unscriptural to ask God to humble you. It is unscriptural to ask God to give you humility. You clothe yourself with humility. You choose humility. I've had 1,000 times, 10,000 times in 35 plus years. The Lord's humbling me by some horrible situation. Can I tell you, God is not your problem. And God's not trying to humble you. We choose humility or we choose pride. God doesn't bring something that, well, I know the Lord's trying to teach me. Why? Because he's just beating the mess out of me. Can you imagine doing that to your own kids? They'd put you in prison. God's not an abuser. Now listen, clothe yourself with humility toward one another because, listen now, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So humble yourself, humble yourself, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may lift you up or exalt you in due time. Pride is simply saying this, there's something I exalt above what God says in my life. When you think of pride, it's mostly we think of somebody who thinks they're better than another. That's a form of pride, but it's the least tempting one to walk in as a Christian. Because most Christians really aren't that tied up in arrogance. But let me tell you a story about just Michelle and I, just to give you a context. Because these are the things that if you don't understand how they work in your real life, you won't have an application for it. We got married, this June will be 31 years we'll be married. And so when we were, oh, yeah, that's a good thing. They're clapping for me, honey, not for you. Yeah, I got two girls. Whoever gets those treasures, I got a son. I'm like, man, I got 20 women. I think it'd be perfect for you, boy. How many of you have sons? You're like, that girl would be great for my son. I have daughters. No. It's the dad thing. I'm sorry. When we got married, I would not suggest doing this. We went to South Africa on our honeymoon. That sounds really romantic. It wasn't. It was 30 years ago, there was a civil war going on in South Africa. Just if you're getting married and taking your bride somewhere, don't take her to a war zone, okay? Yeah, we went to this little movie theater. The next night, we saw they blew it up. It was not good. Yeah, anyway. So we're there, and I won't go into any more detail. There wasn't a lot of honey in our moon, but that's okay. It was rough, man. Michelle never left home before. And by the way, don't ever take your spouse that you marry away from her family in one day into another nation and keep her there for like 3 weeks. Just, if you're thinking, might be, just ask me later. I'll help you. But here's the thing. There's a pastor there of this magnificent church that had about, I don't know, 20,000 people in it. It multiple services, it sat 5,500 people. He finds out through a mutual acquaintance that Michelle and I are there. And just out of just being kind and considerate, somebody in his office tracks us down and he invites Michelle and I to go to lunch with him. And so we were just so, oh God, we don't want to go with him. Lord, please don't make us do this. Michelle actually got up that morning and prayed, said, honey, let's pray that they'll cancel. I'm telling you this for a reason. Pride is when you lift anything, anyone above God. Once you think someone's better than you, can I tell you what else? You must believe that someone is lesser than you. There are no great men or women. There's just a great God who loved broken people. But we're devastated. We're like, oh God, we're both just like, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. So finally we have to, you know, because we're going to eat food with a guy. He was just being kind. We get in a cab. Cab driver's absolutely drunk. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean, I'm talking drunk, 30, 45 miles an hour up on sidewalks. But I didn't stop him. I didn't get out of the cab because I was too afraid to be late with an important person. I risked our lives. We were trying to pray in the back seat of the car instead of saying, hey, stop, let me out. We didn't do that. I'm trying to show you that God doesn't use people. And God doesn't do things through people who give the, you think they have the appearance that, man, they wake up and Shazam. We terribly insecure. We didn't even want to be in the room with the guy. We finally finished lunch. I've never more happy to be done with the lunch. Michelle even more than me. I mean, gosh, it was literally torture for her. We finally get back to the church and we're like, oh God, please, so that we can go now. We can go. He said, would you like to see the church? And we're like, yeah. We're sorry. We apologize every sentence. He's like, why are you sorry? You don't have to see it. But this guy took us around and he showed us this wonderful church. So we walk into the auditorium, seats about 5,500 people. We're just waiting, trying to get out of there. We're apologizing to the guy every three steps for bothering him. And while we're walking, the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart. And I'm convinced that through the years, I can count maybe 10, 15 times in my life that it's been this real to me, that it's almost like somebody inside you talking to you. And this is what was known, just it was a knowing in my heart. Here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. He said, I will use you someday to build something like this. Right when I walked in that room, I actually out loud went, I laughed. I thought, that's crazy. I was embarrassed by it. I didn't even tell my wife. What I'm trying to show you is that God's grace, his divine capacity, has nothing to do with what you have or have done or what you think you can do. Grace requires a combination of three things. It requires a choice of faith to be governed by that power. And then it requires humility, a decision to act of what will I exalt now? What am I going to exalt in my life? What God said about me or how I feel? What I've experienced in my marriage? What I've experienced in my past? Do you realize that truthfully what simply pride is anytime I exalt my experience, my feelings, as legitimate as they may be and as devastating as they may be, the moment I exalt those above what God said, I've entered into pride, I'm on my own. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. True humility is when you look at the impossibilities of life and say, Father, I humble myself. I feel so inadequate. This is impossible. It feels impossible. I don't feel like I have the strength to walk today. But I humble myself under your mighty hand. And I say, let God be true and every man a liar. And then it requires a step, a governing belief in your life that I'm going to walk toward what God said for me to do with my life, no matter what it feels like. And he said, and when you do that, you exercise humility. Do you know that Jesus said of himself in Philippians, the scripture said, and Jesus humbled himself and then became obedient to the death of the cross. Wherefore, God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient. Obedience requires humility. So God called us to leave Africa, to come back here and start this church. To tell you in 25 years that we've had a stretch of 3 months or 2 months at a time, or maybe 6 weeks at a time, where we ever felt capable or strong, I'd be lying to you. Every step we've ever taken, every step of obedience we've ever taken, to say I felt inadequate, we felt inadequate, is the understatement of the world. And what I want you to understand, that no matter where you find yourself today, and just so you know, there's an enemy that wants to stop you. And it's right when this church started that we found out our son, who was just a baby when the church started, just a few years in, he was diagnosed with autism. And he's our first child. And those of you who have children with any type of needs in the autism spectrum, you know how overwhelming it can be in your life. And we didn't have any preparation for it. We didn't know what to do. There really wasn't a whole lot of medical help back then for it. And we were devastated. I mean, we were devastated. Not to mention that he got up every night about the same time and screamed for 2 hours. He'd bang his head on the floor, on the wall. And we're just, I tell you, we had no strength. I don't know how to exaggerate it. I didn't feel spiritual enough to do anything. We were just devastated. And I remember feeling inside my heart, and I didn't say it to a lot of people. I don't even know if Michelle said it to me or I said it to her, but I remember in my heart just saying, Lord, if this is what's going to happen, I almost saying to the enemy, I give up. Just stop. There are so many reasons to come in our life, the one that will paralyze you. But in that intersection of that triangle of the grace and divine enablement of God and faith, meaning I will be governed by that power, not what I feel or see, and humility, I will act upon it no matter what I feel or I don't feel. That's what you're called to do as a Christian. I'm telling you, in that triangle, impossibilities disappear. I'd love to tell you I've lived and we've lived in that triangle in every part of our life. We haven't, but that's what I'm striving to enter into that rest. And over these coming months, I want to take you into that triangle. I don't know which part I'll talk about every week, but there's so much in my heart to share with you about this. And so where our son was concerned, we brought God's word. What does the word of God say about this? And I don't have time to go into this, but over a period of about, I don't know, several years actually, as we were standing and trusting God, then God literally did, I don't know how, something. He reconnected and he healed him of that condition. And he began to get well and he began to learn words and how to speak and he grew. And it was an absolute miracle by the grace of God. And people say to me, well, why don't you tell that story more? You know, why don't you ought to tell that more? Can I tell you there's a reason we don't talk much about it? It's not because of any other reason. It is so sacred to us that I feel like if I talk about it and it's the least bit sensationalized, that it just makes my heart cringe. Because I never want to say anything where people look and say, oh man, look what you did for God. Where we cringe the most, when people, friends, ministers, people that go to, wow, man, look what you did. And it makes me cringe. I know us. I know how helpless we were and are. That's why the Bible says only God can get glory, because it's only by his grace. But you have to choose to yield to that grace by believing the power of God is greater than anything you feel or see. And let me tell you, every one of us in life, you're going to have things in your past, in your present, in your future. They're going to come in front of you and say, you're done. You're done. Now, humble yourself under the mighty hand of this circumstance and walk away from what God says in your life. So I would never do that intentionally, but we do it every day. And if there's anything that I would tell you that has been the hallmark of this church, is not that we've been the most spiritual people in the world, or certainly not the smartest people in the world. It's been simply this: no matter what we felt, no matter what we've experienced, no matter what enemy has come, no matter what struggle has come, whether of our own ignorance or outside, didn't matter, whatever it was, here was, and I prayed this not once, not twice, and I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this, in 35 years of ministry, over 10,000 times would be an understatement, that this has been my prayer. Father, I feel nothing. I feel helpless. I feel hopeless, but I refuse to exalt that above you. I refuse. I will not do it. I trust you. Let God be true and every man a liar. And listen, dear one, if you don't have God's word in your heart, you have nothing to hold on to, because God's word inherent within it is power to bring to pass what it speaks. Just like when light, he said, light be, light was. And so what I want to encourage you today as we wait on God, just right where you're seated, would you just bow your heads? Because you see, I wish God's grace was on my life. Well, if you've given your life to Jesus, it already is. In fact, the Bible literally said there's a portion of the very grace that was upon Jesus that is upon you right now. Listen to me, right now. And that grace doesn't just sit in one area of your life to go do something for God or to serve. That grace will cover every corner of your life. It's like flooding your house. Everything gets wet. But it requires a choice to submit through faith and humility and say, let God be true and every man a liar. And I want to lead you in that in a moment. But before I do, with every single head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you're that couple or that individual, maybe you're here without your spouse, I'm going to pray for you right where you're seated, but I need you to do something very simple. At the end of the service, you come up, if you're with your spouse or alone, and you meet with a prayer partner, and you let somebody know, God dealt with me today, and that was me, and you let them pray for you. You say, well, I don't like doing that. I don't care what you like. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. You won't win this battle alone. Listen to me. Listen to me if that's you. You will not win this battle alone. You've got to open your heart to the resources and the people of the kingdom and the body of Christ to come into that world with you and fight through that literal wall of hell and take you to the other side. But if that's you and you'd say, that was me, that's exactly what happened in my life. And I want God's grace. I want to yield to his grace in my marriage. I'm going to humble myself and say, no matter what I feel, Father, I'm going to trust you now. And we're going to take steps. To let your word abound in our heart and your grace abound and do what we could never do on our own. You say, but Pastor, you have no idea how helpless I feel. Absolutely, yes, God knows exactly how helpless you feel. And in your weakness, you will find his strength if you will yield to him and humble yourself. So with every single head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, right where you're seated, this is between you and God. Ushers as well, bow your heads, close your eyes. This is simply between you and God. I want you right where you're seated just to simply raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hand back down. Thank you. Let me pray for you that raised your hand. Listen, you have to just simply step into his grace. You don't have to feel anything. You don't have to have an ounce of hope in your heart. You can have said the most horrible things to each other that you ever dreamed to say. You say, no, man, we killed this thing. This thing's dead. Dead things don't stay dead. Dead things don't stay dead before God. God touches dead things, they live. That's his MO. He makes dead things alive again. That's what he did for me, he did for you, and he'll do for your marriage. The Holy Spirit moves supernaturally today to save your life and to save your children's lives. And if you will yield to him, so oh, it'll take forever. Don't tell me God takes forever. One word from God you yield to will change your life, whether it's this situation or others in your life today. So let me pray for you, that family. Father, I thank you. Any of us that are married know what it's like to hit the wall, but in this case, that wall's about to fall. I pray that they will humble themselves under your mighty hand and that they will yield themselves to you and say, no matter what we feel, no matter what's happened, no matter what's been done, your grace is sufficient. And then they will put themselves in a position to let the word of God be poured into their heart. Lord, I pray that they will take their next step, come and meet with a prayer partner. They will then be handed off to a small group on marriage or a marriage mentor that the prayer partner will point them to. And they will take that step. Don't pray about taking the step, just go do it. So we don't feel like it. We don't like that. It doesn't matter what you like, you're not God. Don't lift anything above him. Doesn't matter how you feel. If you're going to walk in this grace, your feelings are not irrelevant. You just can't be led by them. And you humble yourself. And he said, I give more grace to the humble. And as you put God's word in your life and you watch his grace come, he can bring things to you. And by the way, just heard this in my spirit again by the Holy Spirit. Stop saying we never loved each other. You are lying to each other. It's an absolute lie. Well, we were just, you know, we just didn't know. We really didn't love each other. That's an absolute lie. Don't deceive yourself. The spirit of your marriage has died. That's what you feel. It had nothing to do with what you had in the beginning. That's a lie. Stop believing lies. And Father, I pray that your grace, and now as a church, we surround them. We pray for them and every family and every couple in this church in the marriage battle. Lord, we will walk through fire together. They don't have to have an ounce of shame, that we will fight together through life as God's people. And I speak life over them. 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 Father, I worship you. Right where you're seated right now, as the worship team just leads us in a song about his power, his glory, his grace. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Just begin to, right where you're seated, sing these words as a proclamation also out of your heart. Go ahead, worship you. Just lead us into that proclamation. Sing that out. We worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. As we were worshiping God, one last thing. You're here this morning, and here's what you said when that happened. I don't think that's real. God, you know, I have... Here's what he wants you to know. It's not only is it real, but what you said in your heart was this. Yeah, what about my marriage? If it was, yeah, what about, you want to know if it's real? You just spoke that into your heart. God would have, yeah, you would have done what, you didn't say anything about my marriage. Well, God just did because he knows your heart. And you say, well, is he against me? No, he loves you. He loves you. Every move and touch of God in your life is to reveal his unconditional love to you. Not to challenge you or to draw you back, but to say, he loves me like that. He loves me like that. That he knows my thought. The God of the universe knows my every thought. And he would move so supernaturally, even when I was being somewhat, I don't buy that. He loves us. He loves us. He'll move heaven, earth, and has hell beneath because he loves us. He loves us. Oh, how he loves you. Let me pray over every one of us in this room. Would you stand together with me as an act of surrender? The Bible tells us to lift up our hands in surrender to God and to worship him with our voices. He said, well, I'm not a hand raiser. Humble yourself before God. And he made the hands. Lift them to him. Don't live in the world of I won't. Live in the world of I submit myself to you in the impossibility triangle of grace, faith, and humility. Father, as we lift our hands in surrender, I take you at your word. Your grace is sufficient. Your power, strength, ability, and capacity is made real in my weakness. And now by faith, I take your word and I say, nothing is impossible to him that believes. I say by faith that everything they set their hand to will prosper according to your word. I thank you they are the head and not the tail. They are above only and not beneath. I thank you that they dwell in your very presence. That they are your child. They're not just a servant that's cleansed. They are a son and a daughter. The Holy Spirit of our God dwells in them. They are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They are completed by Christ. They are accepted in the Beloved. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. We humble ourselves to your words, Jesus, and we say by faith, nothing is impossible. Teach us to walk by your grace, your faith, and humility to choose. Lord, thank you for that. And I thank you that impossibilities will disappear in your presence because you are the maker of heaven and earth and the sea, all that in them is, and you are our Father. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Thank you, Father. I speak that over every life in this room, and no matter what area of that's come against all of us, help us to walk in this triangle, Father God, that you declare impossibility disappears. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Isn't it good to walk with a living God? You can be seated. As you're being seated, I want to make certain of one last thing before I lead you in your giving as we go on our way out today. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Christ, that is, if you died today, you don't know where you'd spend your eternity. There really is a heaven. There really is a hell, and Jesus died so that you could have eternal life. If you're here today, you've never given your life to Christ, or you're not sure, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will join together in as you invite Christ into your heart. If you're not sure or you've never done that and you want to leave this place knowing that the living Christ is the Lord of your life, I want to pray with you right where you're seated. He turns no one away. That includes any of you watching online or watching this later. With heads bowed and eyes closed, say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I want to receive Jesus into my heart. Heads bowed, eyes closed, right where you're seated. Would you just simply raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. One last moment as I look around. Thank you. Listen, God bless you. Listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, I want you to simply pray this out loud where you hear it, and we'll pray together with you. Jesus will come into your life. He will wipe away your past, and you'll become a brand new creation in him and leave this place as if sin never existed before. Pray this out loud where you hear it. We'll all pray it together with you. Pray it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is wiped away. I am heaven bound. Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Best decision of your life, of your life.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.